Welcome to the Your Oxygen Mask First podcast. I'm Erin Young, and this is a space where we explore ways to help the helpers. Because you can't help anyone before you help yourself. So sit back, put your own oxygen mask on, and enjoy the ride. And thanks again so much, everybody, for continuing to join us. And I am very excited today to be joined by a woman after my own heart. She has been involved in the Air Force. She is also a first responder, firefighter, EMT, and she is also a practitioner of many different modalities to help people heal. You guys are going to love her. And she's also a podcaster too, so it's going to be great. So I would like to welcome to our podcast, Michelle Dutro. She is the founder of the Inner North Star PTSD Retreat Center for Veterans and First Responders in the San Diego area. Thank you so much, Michelle, for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk to you.
Let's hear a little bit about yourself and all of your great feats. You're an Air Force and firefighter, and now you're a businesswoman. What's going on here?
So you did. You highlighted on probably the areas that I most enjoy talking about, quite frankly. Absolutely. I was in the Air Force. That was a great many moons ago. And I left the Air Force. And when I got out, I went into sales. It was just easy to kind of fall into. And from there, I spent some time thinking, you know, do I really want to have on my tombstone, here lies Michelle, who sold more widgets than anyone? Nothing against anybody in sales, because it's a great career field. There's no doubt about it. But I thought in that moment, you know, if I was to do something bigger and more impactful, what might that be? And so I thought, well, who has a really great impact on people? If I really wanted to help and be of service, I should become a doctor. And then thought, yeah, okay, well, you let that chronologically pass by about a decade. So that's not going to happen. So then I thought, well, okay, if I don't have time enough to go to school to be a doctor, what's next to that? Well, I should be a nurse then. I have enough time to go to school to be a nurse. I'll do that. And I thought, well, out of the nursing career field, you know, who's like the most, not necessarily important, but, you know, who's really critical in saving lives? And I thought, well, that would be an ER nurse. And I thought, okay, is the ER nurse the most critical path of survival? And I thought, well, someone's got to scrape people off the pavement to even make it to the ER. Well, that would be a firefighter. Okay, I'll go do that. Little did I know, it's not exactly filling out an application and going in for an interview. It's typical in any area, I would say, around the United States for the department that I got hired in. When they first announced that they were hiring, 1,400 people showed up that day to apply. And then it's a series of cutting people by 100 at a time because they were actually only hiring 10, which again is about average of a turnout of how many people apply versus how many they're hiring. That process took 2 years for me to go through to even get hired. And quite frankly, it was my last shot where I thought, okay, after this, I'm going to hang it up and go find something else to do with my life. But I finally got hired. And then, as most people would imagine, you don't usually quit the fire department. You're in it for 20 years or longer. But I realized that being on these calls, you know, 80% are medical calls, about 20% are fire-related calls. But on these calls, I would, it's the same diabetic seizure after chest pain. And it's usually the same folks that we would go respond to 911 calls with. But I would find myself going through the refrigerator or the cupboard saying, okay, Joe, let's talk about what you're eating. Let's talk about what your diet. Let's talk about how to get rid of this diabetes so that you're not having seizures and having to call us on a regular basis. And the rest of the crew tapping their watches going, Michelle, that's really great and helpful, but we're not life coaches here. We're emergency medicine. We're in and we're out. So let's go. And at the end, I realized, you know, they're right. Everybody plays a role. And I realized that my heart really did lie on the prevention side. So having people find ways and means to prevent calling 911 rather than responding to 911 calls. So I left there and went into private practice. So for the next 10 years, really, I started out by my first certification was as a biofeedback therapist in, you know, it's a fancy term, I suppose, for stress reduction. Because I do believe that all illness and sickness of any kind all starts with either acute, constant stress or chronic stress, where it's just a stressful way of life, if you will. And so if we could alleviate the impact of stress, lessen it, lessen what the impact feels like, and make it not so frequent, then you would probably stay healthy longer. So from there, I just added a whole bunch of certifications. So I tried to learn a different modality each year. And it wasn't so that I could be a yoga instructor or be a homeopathic consultant or even a feng shui consultant, if you will. Any one of these things, it was, or guided meditation, that one I spent a bit more time on. But it wasn't so that I could be a practitioner in that field. It was so that when I was working with somebody in a short period of time, 5 to 10 minutes of hearing what you're going through, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, that I would be able to identify and say, okay, this probably is your best path to get you where you want to go the fastest. So it was really just a database of all the modalities that I, in my research, had found to be the most effective in health and healing and like I said, resilience and longevity. So that's what I've been doing. And it was always my goal during private practice that I thought if I had a place where people could come for 3 to 5 days, rather than just seeing somebody for an hour once a week or once a month, that then I could really have an impact. And in all of my studies, everything I did always had a specialty in PTSD. Being a firefighter and a veteran, I worked alongside a lot of people who wound up struggling, and whether it was losing their marriage, ultimately losing their job or losing their health, losing their home because of it. I thought if there was one area that I really wanted to make a dent in, I knew it was always going to be PTSD. So last year, I bought 20 acres on a mountaintop in Julian, California, got my nonprofit, so my 501c3 last November, so that I could do fundraising events and then put people through the retreat center at no cost, because the last thing I wanted was the barrier to getting help being financially related. So anybody that applies to come through that is either diagnosed with PTSD that's a veteran or a first responder comes through here at no cost. So it's been my lifelong goal and dream. And finally, I'm sitting here talking to you, looking out at the property. And it's I'm blessed beyond measure that I can say after 15 years, I finally get to do what I truly feel I was called to do in this lifetime. So excited and excited to be talking to you about it.
And I'm excited for you. That is truly amazing. And I imagine that your property and your setup is beautiful. Do you have a team of people that you work with to help with the retreat?
I don't. So these are really small and intimate. So I only have 4 people here at a time. And so that is a group that I can manage. I have people that I could pull from if I got up to 6 people, but 6 people would be the maximum I would ever do. And it's a 4-day train the trainer program, and they're separate days. So the very first day that people are here, they learn 3 different modalities. From there, they pick one that they most resonate with. Then the second class they come back to, which is about 2 weeks later, we spend 8 hours on that one thing. And then after that, they have a month to go practice and work with it, with family, friends, just with themselves, so that they get, you know, a little more solid in their foundation. Then after a month, they come back, and then it's the train the trainer. So I teach them how to be the teacher of that. That was the purpose behind this, is if we're going to make a dent in PTSD, which I know you know all too well, the statistics only increase, and it's going to stay that way if we don't really think out of the box and do something differently, that I knew I can't have an impact by any means, 4 or 6 people at a time. But what I could do was start a domino effect. So if you learned the skills here that you could take anywhere, you could be sitting at a bus stop, they could be in your community, it could be on your base. And within short order, you would be able to teach somebody what you know and significantly help them in that moment. So that third class then teaches you how to teach it. And then the fourth class that you come back to is you come back to another class that I'm teaching and you co-teach it with me. So then you're a little more grounded and you've got some assistance to be able to go out and know what you're doing. So that's the program. But the whole intention was that this thing ultimately would be able to be run by veterans, because it's a constant cycle of people graduating, coming back. You can come back and co-teach anytime you want to get better at your skill set. If you want to learn one of the other modalities, come back, learn that, and learn how to teach that one as well. But like I said, being here in the San Diego area where we have more military than anywhere else in the United States, which means obviously we have a higher suicide rate then because of that than anywhere else in the United States. So to be here and to be able to have, like I said, a larger reach with a domino effect is the ultimate goal of being here. So hopefully that's what happens.
And that's incredibly innovative. I've not heard anybody actually trying to teach the patients how to, one, heal themselves, and two, how to heal others. Do you find that it's more effective to, the person's not paying so much attention to what's wrong with them and it's me, me, me. It's more of an outward focus that helps them heal faster?
You know, it's a great question. I think the place that that became most impactful to me, I went through my meditation training and my meditation instructor training at One World Academy in India. And the foundation and the basis of their entire program, if you will, is to really learn how to lead a life of other-centric thinking rather than self-centric thinking. And regardless of what's wrong, if you spend your time obsessing, and I want to upfront say that PTSD is not obsessing about your problems, but just stick with me on this train of thought. The more time you spend thinking about what could go wrong, which is worry, right? Thinking about something that hasn't even happened yet, and we're just trying to live into it in our own mind. That's by definition worry. What is every single thing that could possibly happen? And PTSD is the look back, is things that have happened in the past that we bring into our reality currently, and we relive them in real time in this moment. So whether it's some kind of concern about the future that's not real, or some kind of stress about the past as though it's real, both of those are incredibly harmful to our physiology and obviously our mental state. So the point is, if you can find a way to be present, not in the future, not in the past, but stay very clear and present in this moment, then your ability to not only heal yourself, but not have triggers or things that can go wrong, you're it's a lot more likely. And how do we become present? Well, we become present when we're with another. And what's the best thing you could ever do for another is find a way to help somebody. So in this moment, if you are helping somebody else who is struggling, your stuff suddenly is gone. It's just eliminated. And the more somebody can understand the reason why they went through what they went through, maybe, just maybe, was so that they could have a greater impact on someone else's life that then doesn't have to struggle or has to go through things less severely because they crossed your path, because you were able to help them, then you've given every single event that's happened in your life true meaning. Then you can say, wow, all of these things that happened, you know, were hurtful or destructive or, you know, caused me a great deal of pain. But now I can take that and give it meaning and help somebody else. And if you could help one people or two people or 10 people or a community or save your family, if it's the wife of an active duty member who's really struggling, and you and I both know it's challenging sometimes to get them to raise their hand and ask for help, well, then maybe the wife can learn these skills and work with the husband one-on-one to say, hey, let's get through this together so that you can take what you have done, the lessons you've learned in the military, and help maybe somebody younger, somebody more junior, avoid ever even having to deal with PTSD because they'll learn the skills of dealing with it in real time before it really takes a chokehold on them. And so I've seen this time and time again in my practice, especially with depression. As soon as you can take your focus on what has gone wrong or your perception of what has gone wrong in your life and use that to help somebody else walk an easier path, it gives everything you've ever done meaning. And that's a lot of the struggle with PTSD, is all of the things that they have seen or gone through, and it truly just feels meaningless. And then there's also, they've lost their camaraderie. So in the fire department and the police department and with veterans, you know, they're used to having their group, their people that are very like-minded, have the same mission, have the same cause. And when you leave that, you've lost that. So you've lost your identity. I don't have my tribe with me anymore, something we're fighting for. So now I'm giving you a pathway to create a new one, create a new group of people that's here to heal and lead that group. Now you've got your camaraderie back. You've given your life meaning and you're doing exponentially great work that easily could save someone's life from sitting at a bus stop.
That is incredible. And I love how you articulate all of the different ways that people can help each other, because I think when you're so far down in that hole, you're not thinking outward. And to put it in that perspective is really enlightening that, yes, I went through some stuff and it wasn't because I was being punished. It's because I was meant to learn something to help somebody else. And
absolutely,
that's an incredible mindset to have. And then also too, depending on what you believe in, because I know a lot of veterans and first responders are very strict in some of their beliefs, but
sure,
energy begets energy. So everything is energy. So if you're putting a lot of effort and energy into the past and the negative, you're going to attract more things that are negative. What are your feelings on that?
Well, you're talking to somebody who's an energy medicine practitioner. So I could go, that'd be a whole different podcast show on that one.
And that was a little loaded.
You're going to be hard pressed to find somebody that believes that more strongly than I do. But I will tell you, if we take that up a notch and not make it as far down the woo-woo trail as I could go with you, is to say, just think about this. Anytime you've ever thought about the stuff that has happened in your past that just wasn't good, right? It was hurtful, it was harmful, it was whatever it was unjustified, in some way you were wronged. How many times have you thought about that and then suddenly it just became better? Suddenly it cheered you up by thinking about all the bad things. It doesn't. It makes you feel worse. And again, I'm going to go back to stress reduction. The more time you spend feeling bad is directly related to your overall health and well-being. So not only does it not serve any purpose, it's slowly but surely killing you. So we can't do that. Now, I'm not saying let's pretend it didn't happen. What I'm saying is let's give it new meaning. So that thing, we can't want it to go away. First of all, you can't will anything to go away. It already has happened. It's in your past. But now if we say, guess what? Here's the reality. You're not the only person that's endured that. There's no one on this planet that has a story that is unrelatable. Nobody. Maybe you haven't found that person yet that shares that same story, but it's probably because you're not talking about it. But I can guarantee you this, if you did, if you shared with somebody from a vulnerable place, hey, you know, I've kind of gone through some stuff. So whatever you're going through, we can share in common struggle. And whatever that might be, I'm here for you. Now we can take that struggle. And if someone says, boy, there's things I just don't talk about with anybody. Okay, well, I'm here for you. And the reason maybe we've gone through what we've gone through is to become better and to become stronger. And if you and I now tell our story, how many more people can we help? And so again, I'm not saying don't think about it. I'm saying let's change the meaning of what's happened for the benefit and for the good of so many other people who are afraid or embarrassed or ashamed or fill in the blank to ever talk about something that's gone on when that is the very thing that will free you. And if you can talk about it in a way that's, hey, let's get better together, and then let's go out and help five more people that maybe aren't so eager to go reach out for help. And if we're talking about energy, once you start that and you start putting out the vibration of, I'm not here to hide from my past, I'm here to grab my past and make sure that it's here to have meaning and help someone else, those people amazingly will just start showing up. And I can make you a promise of, the second you decide that's what I'm going to do with my life, I am going to make everything that's ever happened to be my message for good. People will just start showing up, even people that you knew but had no idea they had a problem or a very serious struggle in their life. One day are just going to open up to you to where it's like, where are all these people coming from? Because you shifted your energy, and the energy will match you and meet you where you are. So I would much rather go through life and have energy meet me where I am in a positive, helpful, contributing fashion than anything else. And that's available to all of us anytime. We just have to make that decision. Today, I decide to make my past a message for good, and I'm going to use that to help anybody else out there that's struggling. That's always available.
And that's free. You don't have to pay a therapist $100 an hour to get you there.
No, and I certainly am going to say in advance for all the therapists or psychologists or psychiatrists out there that may hear this and take offense to it, but I'm going to say it anyway. For people that spend 20 years on a couch talking about every last thing that's gone on, and they go to therapy for 20 years and then they're fine, or they're better, or they don't need to have therapy anymore, it's really not an evolution of 20 years. It's one day you say, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done talking about this. I'm going to move on. What I'm going to do now is spend the rest of my life assigning new meaning and getting out there and making a difference in the world. And again, you could do that. You could take 20 years to decide, or you can right now decide, I'm done. And I'm going to make my life meaningful, and I'm going to make it make a difference. Again, if you go back to that headstone thing, what do you want your headstone to say? This was the person who was never able to let go of their past. This was the person who lost everything because of it. Or this is the person who had a past that most people couldn't even imagine enduring. and they took that past because of it, not in spite of it, but because of it, and touched and helped so many people's lives. Thank God they were on this planet and went through what they did. Otherwise, they never would have been able to help the people in the unique way that they were able to. Again, we all have that choice. It's just one day deciding my life matters. And my life matters because I don't want to see one more suicide that I have the potential to prevent.
You have me speechless. There's nothing I could even remotely say to, I don't know. That is amazing. I got to take a second here. You wrap up everything that I've been feeling and going through in this journey. Our podcast is a year old now. And it was similar to me. Like, I don't want to diminish anybody else's experience by telling my own, but you know, I just got fed up and was in a hole and didn't think I was helping people in the way that people should be helped. I answered 911 calls and got them help, but it didn't feel like that was just it. There had to be more. And so once I started doing this podcast, I had people that I'd known that I'd been sitting shoulder to shoulder with for years who said, I didn't realize that you were struggling the same way I'm struggling. And that was so impactful. And that just kind of propelled me forward to where I was able to climb out of that hole and have a different perspective of using the difficulties in my past to help bring help to more people in the future. So thank you for sharing that, because that hit home for me.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I hope that everybody listening is hearing you as a shining example of that, of it takes just making a decision that I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of feeling this way, or there's got to be something more, or if this was Groundhog Day, would I want to feel like this every single day of the rest of my life, but I don't know how to get out of it, or I don't know what to do, or that's great that Michelle has a retreat center outside of San Diego, but I'm listening and I live in Maryland and there's no way I can get there. The best thing you could ever do, and the most important skill set you can ever have, is to say, today, I'm going to find a way to help someone. And that may just be looking someone in the eye that's looking down and saying, hey, how are you doing today? What's going on? I have a few minutes. I'm hanging out here waiting for the same bus, or waiting for a friend, or waiting for whatever it is. And rather than just standing here talking to myself, I'd rather talk to you. And sometimes, and it is amazing how many people I have heard say, I got into a random conversation with somebody because I took your challenge. Don't let a day go by without having a conversation with somebody, even for 5 minutes, that you never would have otherwise. And have that person say, it was incredible when that person said, you know what, I was at the end of my rope and thought that no one on the planet cares. And here's you, a stranger, talking to me. And in that moment right here, maybe this is the hope I need. Maybe there is something to humanity. Maybe there is something in a stranger who's going to take 5 minutes to talk to me. And that person's saying, and now guess what? You've got to pay it forward. So if every one of us thought, you know what, if I have 5 minutes standing in line at the grocery store, standing at a bus stop, wherever you are, and you can just look at someone and say, hey, do you come here very often? I'm new to town, or I don't even shop here very much. You know, what do you think of this place? Whatever it is, you have no idea the conversation that's going to come out of it. And you also have no idea if that person wasn't on their brink that day and had decided there's no reason to hang on. And it can be as simple as a smile. But if you can start that, and we can perpetuate that, that thought of contribution is just time and caring. And sometimes that can be the make or break of somebody hanging on for another day, hanging on for the rest of their life, hanging on to their life enough to want to turn around somebody else's also. So the best skill set, I would say, if it's, you know, if you're sitting here thinking, well, I don't know all these modalities, I have no idea what a modality even is, or what these two are even talking about. Care about somebody. Care about somebody today that you maybe wouldn't have ever thought to strike up a conversation, or it might feel awkward or weird. There's a reason why they were put in your path. There's a reason why you're listening to this podcast, oddly being encouraged to do this, because in the next 24 hours, you're going to find yourself somewhere and our voices are going to ring in your head going, okay, maybe this is the person I should just say hello to that I wouldn't have otherwise, and just watch and see what happens. That's the best skill you could ever have, in my opinion.
That's amazing. And I am going to go out and try it today.
Excellent. Excellent.
And then tell Michelle, it worked. Because it worked. You never you never know. You never know who this person is. And even if you don't outwardly know that you help them, they may help you by having a conversation about something that you care about too. So it can go both ways, right?
We all have that. And you know, you and I both could reflect back on 100, if we really thought about it long enough, conversations or interactions that we've had with people, and they have no idea the impact they've had on their life. I've had people like, my life has like course corrected or changed direction because of a conversation I had with someone. That person has no idea the impact they've had. None. I can think of 5 right now, people that I don't even know their names, but conversations that I've had where then I've gone back to think on, yeah, why am I doing that? Or why am I worrying about this? Or wait, what the heck was I thinking? They have no idea. So it does go both ways. You have no idea the people that touch you and don't have the chance to go back and find them and say so. So you've just got to assume when you do good, good perpetuates. I can tell you, if you don't have a conversation within 24 hours with someone, you don't even have a shot at doing good. There's not even a chance at it. So you have nothing to lose. And all that you could possibly do is improve someone's life because they crossed your path. And if that's not why we're all here, then I don't know why that is, in all honesty. Then we should say every bad thing is just that. It's just a bad thing. And I, honest to Pete, do not believe that that is the purpose of all of this. It was to make you wiser. It was to make you stronger so that you had the ability to contribute to a deeper level to someone else. It's just shifting the meaning to what has already happened. And from that place, yeah, anybody can make a difference and truly could change the world. In a ripple effect, we could change the world. Your podcast is doing that. Absolutely.
We're trying. One conversation at a time.
That's right. And it's one conversation that you and I are having between two people with thousands of people eavesdropping. So these thousands of people eavesdropping on your and my conversation, that's the ripple effect. And it's the people that are listening right now all around the world. You have no idea who is listening that right now is saying, huh, you know what? Maybe there is something to this. Maybe I could go out and make a difference and could change the trajectory of their entire life. And that's what we have to bank on, right? When we talk about energy, if we're all out there doing the best we can for someone else every day, that is a life worth living.
Absolutely. Now, switching gears a little bit, because you had mentioned modalities and different types of ways to getting to people. What do you think are the barriers of getting to first responders and veterans and getting them help?
I think that the conversation and this podcast is a fantastic place for that. Is the more that we can have a conversation about mental health and take away the stigma that by raising your hand saying, hey, I could use some help here, that's going to take time. But the only way that we're going to erase that stigma and say, no, it's actually strength that allows you to say, I could use some help or I need to talk to somebody. That's not weakness. Weakness is staying in the shadows. Weakness is I'm okay and I'll get through this, even though you know inside every day you're slipping away a little bit more and a little bit more. It takes true strength to say, you know what, there's been a lot of stuff and I'm not sure exactly how to deal with it, but here's what I do know. I'd like to get well so that I can do good. That takes strength. But again, without community and conversation of hearing a different perspective of what that looks like, because police officers, firefighters, veterans of any branch, at their heart, at their core, they're warriors. They're there to help someone else. And the training of that, just from a logic perspective, would be, how can you be weak and be a warrior at the same time? How can you need help and give help at the same time? So what we have to do is really erase all of that, like an Etch-a-Sketch board from, you know, back in the 70s that you shake up and all of those lines that are drawn are now erased and gone, and say, hang on a second. You can't really be a true warrior and you can't really help someone if any part of you internally is struggling. So by obligation, you got to be at your A game. You've got to be at your best, and not a fake it till you make it kind of way. Truly being solid and grounded in every aspect of your being, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, really solid. Only from that place can you truly be a warrior. Can you truly offer help? And so from an incentive standpoint of why would you want to raise your hand and say, hey, I could use some help here, or I could use some skills that, by the way, no fire department or the military never taught me, because they don't. I mean, I can speak firsthand. There's no training in how to get ahead. How do you prevent PTSD? I think it's one of the biggest downfalls of our government is that we're sending these, you know, 18, 19, 20, 25, 30 for that matter, you know, young men and women off to fight wars with absolutely no preparation for what they're about to witness and what they're about to see firsthand. And if you don't have any tools to deal with anything, that'd be like throwing a football uniform on somebody and putting them out in the middle of an NFL game and saying, good luck out there. Are you kidding me? That doesn't even make any sense. You spent your entire, you know, life, or at least, you know, the better part of, you know, 10 plus years before you're ever in the NFL playing football to know, what does defense look like? What does offense look like? How do I run one direction or pivot or change? Otherwise, you would get flattened and run over. So every single thing, if you're going to be an elite at it, is years of preparation and training. Well, we don't do that. Boot camp, that's not years of preparation and training. And little, if no, effort is done in that preparation or training on mental health. So outside of that major downfall that we have, I would say that without conversations like this, podcasts like this, conversations at a bus stop in a grocery store, opening up dialogue and conversation where you said, as soon as you started saying, you know what, I got some struggles, people that you knew that you were close to, you had no idea they were struggling with the same thing. It's starting the conversation. And starting the conversation by saying, wow, you're struggling. You know what? Thanks for saying that. That took a lot of strength in you. Strength and vulnerability, which go hand in hand, for you to even talk to me about this, which I appreciate immensely. So again, it's changing the meaning of what it means to need help. Because to me, what it says is, you have decided that you truly want to be a warrior. You truly want to be somebody who is the defender of all good. And you know you can only do that from a place of solid grounding in every aspect of your being. So to get help means you're committed to do great things in this world. To not ask for help, I look at that and say, what's going on? Why don't you want to be better? Why don't you want to be at your peak mental and physical health so that you can truly get out there and help in the most significant way? Otherwise, and let's make this really extreme, if you want to stay that way, I think that's kind of selfish. Because if you don't want to be at your best so that you can help others, why are you here? It just doesn't add up to me. So that to me is strength. I want to do better. I want to be better, which means, again, I don't care if it's tennis, golf, football, fill in the blanks. You're not going to be the best at any one of those sports if you're not getting help, if you're not getting coached. There's no elite athlete out there that not only didn't have a coach since he was five, but has a coach to this day, right? You have a coach. So who's yours? So for you to be at your peak game, who's your coach? Who's in your corner? Who's helping you to make sure that you're at your best? And if you don't have one, that's a problem. Everybody should have what I consider a coach in their corner. Now, sometimes it might be a nutritional coach, might be a mental health coach. It could be any form of it. But what it says is, I'm committed to being my best so that I can be the best for someone else. That takes strength and courage.
I love it. And I absolutely love the football analogy. I'm so sorry about your Chargers, but go Rams.
Yeah, we'll skip over that. Thank you.
But the thing about having a coach, you're not looking at having a psychiatrist or a psychologist in your corner the whole time, because that gives people this weirdness that, like, this is a bad thing if I'm always going to a psychologist or a psychiatrist or doing therapy. And I feel like, you know, doing something for yourself, whether it's checking in with a therapist or going to a hypnotherapist or, you know, different biofeedback things, if you're doing that for yourself, that should be as regular as getting your hair done. And you should talk about it as regularly as, what are you doing today? Oh, yeah, I'm getting my hair done. Or what are you doing today? Oh, I'm going to go see my therapist today. It's going to be great, kind of thing.
Yeah, because I'm sharpening my tools, right? Why? Because I'm trying to be my A game. Why am I going to go talk to someone? Because I got to make sure that I am at my best. What are you doing? Oh, nothing? Huh? Wow. That's interesting. So you just kind of signed up for a mediocre life, huh? Because I signed up for a life to be at my A game all the time. And I know that I need feedback from somebody else who's trained in a field to be a solid coach, to give me feedback to say, hey, is what I'm thinking right? Am I on the right track? Am I doing the right things? Otherwise, when we're just left to our own head, right, in our own make-believe stories, it's very easy to get off track and convince ourselves that what we're doing is the best, whether it's, you know, wallowing or worrying or obsessing or whatever it is. To have someone that you're talking to on a regular basis that says, whoa, 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 hang on. What meaning did you just assign that? Why are you doing this thing with your life? You know that you are absolutely capable of greatness. Let's find all the ways that we can get you there. Who in their right mind, I kind of say that a little bit of pun intended, with the right mind, wouldn't want that? Of course you would. And if you, again, flip the script a little bit. So if you were saying to somebody, yeah, I'm going to talk to my therapist today because I got to make sure I'm at my A game all the time so that I can be my best to give to others. What are you doing in that regard? Okay, now all of a sudden, it changes everything. Now all of a sudden, it's like, holy cow. Yeah, I'm not talking to anybody. How do I know I'm at my A game? Could I be better? Could I be doing better? Could I be better for others? Maybe I should consider that. And if we looked at it that way, that how in the world are you going to be your best for someone else if you are not at your best? And to be at your best, once again, everybody's the best entertainers. They have vocal coaches, right? Or they have dancing coaches for that matter. Or they have people that work on their attire, right? What is your image? An image consultant. Every single person who, if you think, who are the three most famous people you know, those three people, whether it's sports, entertainment, politics, fill in the blank, it doesn't matter. Every single one of them probably doesn't have one. They have multiple coaches in different areas of their life. Finance. Okay, so financially, are you financially sound? Do you have a financial coach? Do you have a financial advisor in your life? What is any different from somebody advising you financially than somebody advising you mentally and emotionally? There's no difference. Absolutely none. It's somebody to say, hey, where are you at now? Where do you want to go? Let's map out a plan for you to get there. And by the way, it ain't going to take 20 years. We're not going to talk about your finances for 20 years unless that's a plan of calling, let's get to bankruptcy if we can't figure out how to get there faster than that. That makes no sense to me. None, absolutely none. So whatever it is you want to do, but I'm also quick that way, right? Let's make a decision. There's no such thing as I'm quitting smoking. No, you're not. Let's call that what it is. I'm going to smoke maybe a little bit less until the day I decide to quit. There's no quitting. You either smoke or you don't smoke. That's it. You're either contributing to someone else or you're not. And all that is a decision to say, I would like to dedicate my entire life to helping other people. And I want to do that from the healthiest place I can. So I'm going to make sure I surround myself with coaches in various areas of my life, paid or unpaid. It doesn't matter. There's lots of people out there who will help you. Again, it's that conversation at a bus stop. I need to make sure I'm my A game in every facet of my life so that I know my life was meaningful because I was committed to making a difference in someone else's life. That takes coaching. And that takes somebody who can constantly kind of give you feedback to say, okay, where are you at now? Because every time you get better, we don't realize how great we can be, right? And then we get better and we get better. And it's, wow, I need to up my belief system in what I'm even capable of doing. And that takes somebody being around who can say and remind you, you know how great you are? Amazing. And now let's talk about where we can go. You wanted to help 10 people? Let's talk about what it will take for you to help 100 people. Should you be giving public lectures? Should you be talking on a national circuit about your time in the military and what you've done to transform your life to be able to help that many more? Everybody listening can do that if they choose to. Everybody can. Everybody's life is worth hearing about. That's why you have the podcast you have. Everybody's story has the ability to help one, if not thousands of people just by hearing it. So to sit in your house alone, selfishly, not sharing your story, it's just flat out wrong. It's flat out wrong. You've gone through the unique experiences you've gone through to be able to make a tremendous difference in this lifetime. You just got to get out and do it. Call up Erin and get on her show. That's what I'm telling you right now. Tell your story.
Always looking for people to talk to. I love stories. And Sarah, our producer, she knows you personally or got to meet you in person. And she said something about a story about little Michelle. What is that about?
So Back when I was in private practice, and I'm also a certified strategic intervention life coach. And so one of the most common things I hear from people is, I just don't know what I should be doing with my life. You know, it's great that you have a purpose and a calling and you know what you should be doing, but I really have no idea, which is absolutely not true. Every single one of us knows why we're here. And we know that because we all have some innate skill or innate talent. And I don't mean talent like you're going to be Beethoven or Picasso. I mean way more subtle than that. There's a way you show up in life just by who you are and what you do and how you do it. That is your gift. It's your unique calling card. So when people say, well, how long ago did you know that, you know, you were meant to be a coach or you were meant to talk to people or try to help? And I think my, out of every certification that there is, to me, they're meaningless without the single core, which is the foundation of everything I do, which is getting you to believe that you're capable of amazing things. You just got to believe. So let's go back to, okay, well, when was the first time that was? Little Michelle, 4 years old, I was in my very first swimming class, learn how to swim class. And this very bold teacher standing in the little end and all the little 4 and 5 year old kids sitting on the edge of the pool with their feet in the water that barely could meet the water for that matter. Our very first lesson, again, I said she was bold, Red Cross, I don't know where we were at, but she said, okay, first lesson today, we're going to learn how to swim underwater. And okay, well, anybody at 4 years old or 5 years old is going to react going, okay, first in, we're going underwater. Wow. Okay. Seems like we skipped about 10 steps here, but all right. Who am I besides a four-year-old? So I'm at the very end of this row and I'm looking down at all the faces that clearly look, there's panic and then there's extreme panic. That's every one of these, every single one of these kids. So I'm watching the first kid. It took a lot of coercion. Finally, she gets him in the water, you know, go down under a push up. And, you know, she was, you know, maybe a foot away. And then each one, you know, she could get a little bit further away by the third kid. And it's the same thing every time, the same coercion, the same convincing. And I thought, what in the devil? We've already seen a couple of these kids. They haven't drowned yet. No one's even come up sputtering. This can't be that hard. So I just got ahead of it. So she's talking to the third kid. I went to the fourth kid and said, look, there's nothing to this. You can see this. These kids have it. I think this is a game. I think the real thing is to see who can go farther and deeper underwater. This ain't no thing. Look at these kids. You got this. Go farther. Go farther than the guy next to you. Then I jumped to the next kid. Say the same thing. And then I was like, I bet you could make it all the way across the pool. It's 50 yards underwater. It's a four-year-old. I'm sure you can. So then she gets to me. And she goes, okay, so it's your turn. Obviously, you're some expert swimmer. I've heard you're coaching all along the line here. So, you know, still got to check a box, you know, let's go. And then we'll move on to the next thing. And I looked at her like she was honest to Pete insane. And I said, no, that's not happening. And she gets a little bit closer and she goes, it's Michelle, right? I said, yeah. She goes, I know you know how to swim, but you still have to do it anyway. See all the parents and stuff? You still have to do it. You know, we've got to check it off as a skill set. And I said, no, I am, of all the things I'm doing, that's not one of them. I'm not doing that. She comes over to me and she goes, look, you got to do this. And I said, I don't think you understand. That's not why I'm here. And she goes, what? Swimming lessons. I said, I know, but no, that's not why I'm here. I'm here to make sure that all of these kids know they can do it. That's why I'm here. I'm just here to help you. And she looked at me and I knew in that moment, she's like thinking, since when does the Red Cross hire four-year-old teacher aides? And I said, okay, so we're good here. I think you've got it. Great, you know, good job. And again, using terminology that a four-year-old would use. But I got up, grabbed my towel, walk up to the stands. All right, mom, you know, let's go. We, you know, walk off to the car. We got in the car. She goes, what the heck were you guys talking about? What's wrong? Why did you get kicked out of the class? I said, oh, I didn't get kicked out of the class. I said, I was just done. I said, those kids all, could figure out how to swim underwater. So I don't need to be here anymore. And she goes, well, these were swimming lessons. I said, well, not really. No, that's not really why I was here. I really don't have any interest in swimming. I appreciate being here, but that's really why I was here. And that went on through my whole life. So little did I know that every single teacher, you know, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, Michelle, you talk too much. Michelle, stop talking. Michelle, come to the front row. Now the center of the front row. Michelle, why are you still talking? Well, what I'm trying to do is explain things to the other kids in class who aren't getting you. Oh, is that right? I suppose you'd like to come up and teach the class. Thank you. It'll take 5 minutes. All right. Now, when you said this thing over here, it was a brilliant point. But here's where I think some of you guys got lost. And then she looked at me going, wait, okay, you really honestly think I was calling you up here to teach the class? Now you can go see the principal once again for not understanding what it is when you need to stop talking. It doesn't mean that I need a co-teacher. So I think I spent most of my grade school years with the principal more than I did with any teacher, but it was always the same thing. And I never understood why it is that people didn't understand why I was ever in a room. It wasn't even for my learning. It was just to help make sure that everybody in the room knew they could do it. And so when I say a very subtle thing, I don't mean a talent like, a hairstylist or the fastest runner or football player. I don't mean like that. I mean, what is it that you do that's maybe a little different or a little odd or a little unique or a little whatever it is? Because that one little nuance about you is your gift. And that little thing is your contribution, your unique fingerprint to the world of here's who I am. Here's whether it's my sense of humor or my innate sense of style. I don't know what it is, but every single solitary human being has their thing. My thing is just getting you to believe. My license plate says believe. The word believe is around my entire house. My jewelry all says believe. It's just my thing. Is if I got you to believe that anything was possible for your life, you would go out and do great things and have a monumental impact on the world. Everybody has something. And so to just stop and think, let me just go back and take a look at my life. Why was I in the situations I was in? Why have I met the people that I have met? What about that seems to be a bit unique to me? And now if I were to really think about that in a different light and think, how can I take that and what would be interesting to someone else? Or what is it about my life and my experiences that really is oddly unique? That's your thing. You had those experiences for a reason, not by accident. You crossed the paths, the people that you crossed, not by accident. There was a reason. And if you look at if you really stop long enough and look at the whole of your life, you'll see a pattern in it. You'll see that it's the same, no matter where you are, the same types of things, the same types of situations, the same types of people show up with your same type of response. That's your thing. Now we just have to say, how do we make that a shining contribution to the world? Because it's why you went through what you went through. Everything that has happened, everything that's happened, didn't happen to you. It happened for you. Now we just have to say, why is that? And how can we make that your gift? You're no different. It's why you have this podcast. Everything you've gone through was to lead you to this point right now. Now, where is this going to go on a larger scale? Are you going to wind up on, television, having your own television series? That might even be too small for you, but where you're going to take this, if we could fast forward 5 years, 5 years from now, you're going to look back at all of this and say, oh, now I see why I was doing the podcast. And I see why I was a 911 dispatcher and then a supervisor. I see why I did all this because of all that, not in spite of it, but because of all of that, here's where I am now. And it's my unique greatness and talent that I'm now able to share with the world. And every single solitary person listening has that. Everyone. You just got to stop long enough, stop the noise, stop the chatter, and tune in, hence the name of my company and retreat center, Inner North Star. Your guidance is not external. A North Star is to keep us with our true north, right? Keep us on track, keep us headed in the right direction always. But the reality is that's inside you. Your guidance is not external. So if you could stop the chatter and stop the noise, meditation is great for that. And really tune in and listen. What is my greatest gift? It's there. And if you don't know it, you're just not listening. You're just not really listening clearly to the story of your own life. Because as soon as you do, all of it will start clicking. And then let's go back to the energy thing. You'll start meeting people that will support you and help you and bring your gift even more to light once you start connecting with your truth. And we all have that. We all have that.
And that makes total sense to me. And your story actually triggered a story from me that when I was in the third grade, it was like an author thing where we pretended to be authors and we got to create our own hardcover books. And I chose a story to tell about a girl named Stacy who's being abused by her mother in the third grade. And I came from a place of, I just wanted to help people and to tell a story. But my parents got called into the teacher's office, and CPS almost got called because they were afraid that I was reaching out for help
right.
by telling the story. But what I was really doing is finding my sense of purpose in the third grade,
that's right.
which I had not connected the dots until you just talked just now.
That's right. And see, now, and there's no wasted time, to be clear, but the sooner we can connect those dots, the sooner we can be laser focused about how to bring our gift to light to help the most amount of people possible. And your story is exactly right. And I can tell you now that it's on the forefront of your mind, you're going to start thinking about more and more of these things going, holy cow, it's actually always been there. Your desire and drive and calling to help people. You didn't stop at just being an I-1 operator. Now you're a supervisor. So everything you do is to scale. Podcast, you could just be talking to me, but you chose a path of, hey, let me talk to someone about their story so that thousands of people can hear it. So your innate calling isn't just, and there's nothing wrong with helping one person by any stretch. I'm just specifically talking about your gift. Your gift has always been, this isn't going to even be just about one person. This is going to be, how can I reach many people? Because even that third grader knew, hey, if you tell this story and this story could resonate with other children, who knows who this might touch? Even if consciously you didn't know that, subconsciously your soul's calling, through stories, through connection, I will be able to help 1, 5, 10, hundreds, thousands, potentially millions of people. And you can't stop that trajectory. That's where you're headed. I'm just saying you can get there faster the more you tune in to truly who you are and why you're here, which obviously you have this podcast for the exact same reason, which is fascinating. And the more people you talk to say, hey, how long have you known? And someone says, oh, I guess when I was 30 or 20, that's not true. Stop longer, because the reality is, since you could go back to the very beginning of the first memories you have, your passion, your calling, your purpose has been there from day one. It's why you had the experiences you had. It's why you met the people you met. It's why you've done what you've done, was to constantly build your strength, your backbone, your stamina, your endurance, your perseverance, was to be able to really tell a more concise and impactful and meaningful story around this, which you would need to gather experiences all along the way, to then be able to tell it in a grand way. Even in that moment when you didn't realize it, that's why all of that was happening. Again, it's switching the meaning of our life, not to the things that happened to you, but happened for you. And then you'll see you knew who you were from the very beginning. You always have. All of us have. We just get caught up in the noise and distraction and being busy and leading chaotic lives, which is unnecessary, quite frankly.
Well, we can reconnect and we could have a whole other podcast on chaotic lives. And if you would be interested, I would love to talk to you about that, because I think that's another one of those ancillary things that causes us so much stress. But
oh, I do. And you're going to love that that's a choice. There's a lot of benefit to leading a chaotic life. And when you can get very clear about what those benefits are, then you can realize there's actually far more benefit in not choosing that, because everything we have in life is a choice. Everything we don't have in life is a choice. What it is why are you choosing what you're choosing? Because all of it is a choice. Every single last thing. From having a life of chaos to the type of toothpaste you buy. Every single thing is a choice. I'm most fascinated by the things people don't choose than by what they do choose, because they're both equally as active. So to not choose a peaceful way of life, a life of serenity, it's fascinating why somebody wouldn't choose that. Those are the conversations. I could talk to you about that till the cows come home. Yes. Fascinating.
Well, it's a date then.
I love it. Well, I could talk to you about probably 100 different topics for hours on end. So my favorite thing is to get to chat with somebody that not only are we so aligned with on paper, but just energetically, such alignment is my fun and my grace in life, is to get to share time like this with you. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
No, I appreciate it too. And it's fun for me. I like this conversation and where it's going. So, but I don't want to cut short of all of the great things that you're doing at your retreat. So I kind of want to circle back to it, because I hear that you have some pretty exciting events coming up in June. And I would really like people to know about it.
We do. So, and there are more and more get added all the time. So the best way to even find out about that, especially if you're in Southern California, let alone San Diego, is even better. But the website is Inner North Star, I-N-N-E-R, just like we had talked about, InnerNorthStar.com. You'll get redirected to a much longer named website that is, you know, it's InnerNorthStarPTSDRetreatCenter.org. Way too many letters to type. So don't worry about that. Just InnerNorthStar.com. When you get redirected, you'll be on the PTSD website page, and there's an events tab, and you can click on it, and the drop down will be everything that's currently going on, mainly right now for June, because June is PTSD Awareness Month. So we have a lot of things going around the month of June for that. One of the bigger, and it's kind of cool, is that we have two different breweries here in San Diego, Bitter Brothers and Nickel Beer. They've done a collaboration beer that's being distributed by Carl Strauss Brewing all over Southern California. It's already out, in fact, everywhere. And 100% of those proceeds benefit the PTSD Retreat Center. So, you know, that's what I say. It's not just getting to drink great beer, but you're also doing good while doing that. So we have a lot of different events at different breweries all around Southern California for, like I said, the month of June, that in some way, shape, or form are having some kind of a fundraising event. Maybe it's for a day or for the entire month. Again, so that this money comes back to the PTSD Retreat Center so that these no-cost retreats can continue to be offered year-round. So thank you for asking. I appreciate that.
And then if people aren't in the Southern California area, but they wanted to donate and help you guys out, how would they do so?
Absolutely. Same website. So there's a big donate button, and you could donate where it's, you know, $5 a month, or you could donate just $5. You could donate $100,000. I certainly don't want to limit people, but whatever it is, whatever you feel, if you know that maybe you've lost someone to suicide, or you know someone is really struggling and thinking this pay it forward thing makes sense, and that domino effect might be one of the ways that we can have a larger reach to folks that are struggling, you know, one of the best ways is to get as many people through as possible so that we can truly infiltrate not just California. We have people that visit here from all over and take it again back to their community, wherever that may be, and really start to make a difference in this. And that solely, the only way that can happen is through donations. All of it is, because we're a 501c3, like I mentioned, all of it is a tax deduction. So you have that. So whatever it is, I am beyond grateful for anybody who thinks this is a worthy cause and wants to be part of the movement to help eradicate suicide and the effects of PTSD.
And if somebody is listening and wants to be part of the retreat and go through it, what's the process like? Is there screening?
There is. So a couple of the things that matter, which you've probably garnished from this conversation, is one, you have to be in a place where if there's still alcohol or drug addiction, that's a factor. That's not the treatment facility that I have. There's amazing ones all over the US. Is one, you've got to be clean, because again, you can't help someone else unless you're at a place to even be able to do that. So one is that you've got to be clean. And the other one is that you're coming through here, one, to get help for yourself, but the reason that you want help for yourself is that you want to go out and help others. So as long as those two things are in existence, anybody can fill out an application that I will send to you. And then I do an interview. If you don't live here, then we do an interview via Skype. So we can kind of connect that way. If you're, you know, anywhere in the, you know, LA, Orange County is just a 2-hour drive. San Diego obviously is only an hour to here. But we meet in person and talk and make sure that this is a fit, because it's a bit of a time commitment, obviously. And I want to make sure that this is actually what your best next step is. Like I said, I've spent a lot of time going through a lot of different trainings to know everything is helpful, but everything is helpful in the right order. And so it's important to me that this is what your next right step is. And maybe there's a couple of other things that would be more beneficial for you to do upstream and then come here, but that I can help assess with somebody in really a short conversation. So
awesome. And I'll also post the short link to your bio page on the website so people can just click and not have to worry about it.
Excellent. Even more helpful. So yes, thank you. I appreciate that very much. And I appreciate the shout out about it. It will do a great deal of good. Like I said, this issue around PTSD and mental health and getting people talking is, I think, near and dear to both you and I. So like I said, I really do appreciate your time today and helping to continue the conversation and change the stigma that being the best we can be is ever a sign of weakness. It's like I said, it's only a sign of absolute strength to be able to want to get well so that you can go out and help other people. I don't think there's a greater calling than what that is in this lifetime.
Well, and thank you, Michelle, so much for joining us. I appreciate you taking time out and all of the amazing things that you're doing with your retreat and helping people help others. I love that pay it forward, but that idea that you can only help yourself when you help others. And that's kind of what I'm all about. So
I would love
to have you back on the show and we can talk about so many other things if you're willing.
Absolutely. I would 100% be honored. And I greatly look forward to it. So thank you again so much for having me on your show. I appreciate it immensely.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen today. And I hope that you found something that really resonates with you. I can't wait to share even more. So please subscribe to the podcast. And you can find links to our resources in the description and at youroxygenmaskfirst.com.